universe, a poet has said, is made up of stories, not atoms. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series on the business of writing and publishing. Today, we will venture into the writing classroom for lessons in the composition of narrative nonfiction. Our instructor is Jack Hart, author of Storycraft, just out from the University of Chicago Press. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Jack.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here. And I love that quote.
I enjoy that one, too. You know, the internet is good for all kinds of things, and finding interesting quotes is definitely up the top of my list there. I love that. The universe is made up of stories, not atoms. Certainly that human universe that we all dwell in definitely is. Let's tell people about what your background is here. Jack Hart is a former managing editor and writing coach of the Oregonian. He received the first National Teaching Award from the American Society of Newspaper Editors and a University of Wisconsin Distinguished Service Award for his contributions to journalism. He's taught on the faculties of 6 universities and was named the Rule Distinguished Professor at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication. Apart from Storycraft, which, as we mentioned, is just out this month, July, from the University of Chicago Press, he's also the author of A Writer's Coach, and he speaks to us today from an island in Puget Sound. So we're sorry to be bothering you on your vacation. We're going to get you back in the classroom, though, because writing is what it all comes down to. And I suppose you've thought this through better than almost anyone else out there. So I want to start by asking the obvious question, Jack, and that is to help us understand what to recognize as the ingredients of a good story. If more writers knew what to look for, they might be more successful at their writing, I would imagine. So what makes for a good story?
Somebody with a problem. I think that's the starting point for most true stories, because the fundamental theory of story, our understanding of what story is, that goes all the way back to Aristotle, is that a story occurs when a protagonist, that is someone who is driving the action, encounters a complication that requires resolution. And from that simple premise, all the complexities of great storytelling follow.
Well, it's a simple premise, but those complexities are the ones, they're the devils in all of this. Talk about some of the various elements that you think are important. And I guess before I let you do that, I want to ask you about something which seems critical to this discussion. In this day and age, having a book about storycraft, I have to challenge the notion just a bit, because it's about following some rules, right? There are structures and elements to the storytelling craft that ultimately amount to a set of rules. And this is not an age when rules mean much to people. Did you find when you were teaching in the classroom that students resisted the idea of writing rules, perhaps more today than they might have in the past?
Occasionally, I think you do encounter that attitude. But, you know, storytelling is so universal, and successful storytelling contains so many common elements that only a fool would neglect the fact that there's some kind of hardwiring in our brain that recognizes and is drawn to a particular form of story. Now, that doesn't inhibit creativity one whit. I mean, there are certain basic theories that underlie all of music, but the possibilities for expressing particular instances of those theories are infinite. And the same is true with storytelling, whether it's in fiction or nonfiction.
Well, I agree with you, Jack, and I think the rules are there because they provide a satisfying result. There's a transaction that goes on between the storyteller and the audience, and if you follow a certain set of rules, the audience feels satisfied. They feel there's been a complete experience.
Well, that's true. With that being said, it's also true that when it comes to nonfiction narrative, there are a great number of varieties that extend beyond the classic story arc, the narrative arc that a lot of students learn in a literature class. You can successfully sell and reach audiences with vignettes, which is simply a little one-scene slice of life. And there are narrative forms of the essay, both personal and topical, that are very successful in today's marketplace. And one of the most successful forms, one that you'll see in almost every issue of The New Yorker, and one that was one of our favorites at The Oregonian, is the explanatory narrative, which doesn't have a true narrative arc, but which follows an action line and includes digressions that help explain some interesting phenomenon.
Well, you mentioned action, and another great quote in the book that I wrote down and I'm going to use again and again, I think, in the future, is from Jimmy Breslin, an eminently quotable man. He said, news is a verb, and you stress the importance of action in a successful story, and you even make the case that dialogue is a form of action. Talk about the importance of action.
Well, I think you build a story, particularly nonfiction story, on three pillars. One is character, one is scene, and the final one, which the other two serve, is action. Something has to be happening. We look to narrative to give us ideas about how to live successfully in this world. We want to see protagonists resolve problems, and they do that by taking action to deal with problems. So if you don't have action there, you really don't have the basis for any kind of a narrative. And conveying action in print, which is not a terribly active medium, is a real challenge sometimes, and one that requires mastery of a lot of tricks of the trade. And I devoted an entire chapter to that in the book for that reason, because it's something that you acquire a particular skill at only over time and by learning a large variety of techniques.
Well, we're talking with an eminent magician of the story craft, Jack Hart, author of a book called The Story, or just Story Craft, The Complete Guide to Writing Narrative Nonfiction, just out this month on the University of Chicago Press. And you mentioned tricks of the trade. Can you share with us a favorite trick or two?
Well, Jimmy Breslin had it right. News is a verb, action is a verb, and certainly one of the principal routes to vibrant action-filled writing is a mastery of verbs and knowing the various verb forms, knowing the difference between a transitive and intransitive and linking verb, for example. And building cause and effect through the effective use of verbs. Point of view has something to do with action, too. From where are you viewing a scene, and how is the action unfolding in front of you? So action ties in with scene setting in that regard. And certainly it ties into character. Your protagonist and the other principal characters have to be positioned in a scene and viewed as they are interacting. And that's why, for example, the most effective narrative nonfiction uses dialogue, people talking to one another, rather than the direct quote, which is a mainstay of the newspaper or magazine report.
Right. The dialogue really does help to advance the action some. But ultimately, all of these things come down to the writer and his or her ability to make the right choice. Can you teach that?
Oh, very much so, I think. And I think making the transition from other kinds of nonfiction writing to effective narrative nonfiction writing is something that any competent writer can master if he or she simply learns some basic theory and finds structures that are appropriate for holding the story that that the writer wants to tell. I've seen that happen time and time again. You know, I worked with Rich Reed for years, and he tackled his very first narrative nonfiction piece and won a Pulitzer Prize for it. And our music critic at the Oregonian, David Stabler, tackled his very first piece of narrative nonfiction and made the finals for the Pulitzer Prize. So, again and again, I've seen writers who were competent at reporting and putting together a topically organized, more abstract report, learn some of the basics of narrative nonfiction and apply those and be enormously successful at not only winning prizes, but reaching large numbers of readers.
Well, I have to ask you, in your role as the writing coach for those two journalists and for others, what's that relationship like between the writer and the coach?
Well, I think it's like coaching in a variety of disciplines. It's probably not all that different from coaching, say, on the athletic field, in that, first of all, the coach is involved in the entire process, and it's quite different from editing in that respect. In the traditional model a writer goes out and produces a draft that an editor then sits down, usually with the writer not present, and edits, something that I once heard called secret editing. But that's not the kind of relationship you want if a coach is working with the writer. So from the very inception of an idea, there should be an ongoing conversation in which you're discussing important questions like, well, who's the logical protagonist? From whose point of view do we want to tell this story? Where does this story end? Where does it begin? What are the principal plot points? And how do we divvy up the story into exposition, rising action, and climax? And what is the climax? And what is the complication? And sometimes those things change as the reporting goes on, so there has to be a continuing conversation between the writer and the editor as the story takes shape.
Well, it sounds like a good plan and some sense of structure are essential then to success. As you say, you don't have to feel like your feet are in cement on any of this, but starting out with a notion of where you're going is probably a worthwhile place to be.
And having a good sense of what the possible structures are. There are half a dozen or more that are applicable to writing for today's nonfiction markets in this country. And you need to be aware of those so that you don't try to force a square peg into a round hole. I've encountered some very frustrated writers. They knew they had some good material. They knew there was a story there somewhere, but they just had a very narrow idea of what the possible structures were and found it intensely frustrating to try and work their material into those inappropriate structures.
Well, I wanted to ask you about some of the common errors in storytelling. That sounds like one, making a bad decision about the structure of the story. What are some other common errors that can be avoided or can at least be identified? You can tell you're off on the wrong track and you need to go back.
Well, newspaper reporters in particular, reporters in general, have a tendency to want to focus on the victim of something that's happened in society, because the standard newspaper report often focuses on the victim. That doesn't produce a particularly good narrative in most cases, because, first of all, the readers are not going to identify with the protagonist, and it offers no particular lesson on how to cope with life successfully. So picking the right protagonist is terribly important to getting off to a good start. Focusing on a criminal is another common error, because again, readers can't identify necessarily with that criminal unless you turn somebody into a lovable rogue who may not be all that lovable in terms of consequences for society. So picking somebody who's out there, who's doing something, who's resolving a problem that we can relate to, I think is probably step one, and that's where the most significant errors are usually made.
Well, do you wonder at all about the future of narrative nonfiction in this age where journalism is less and less about text and more about the visual and the oral kind of reporting that one is accustomed to seeing on television and radio?
Oh, not at all, because, and it's a point I've really tried to make in Storycraft, these fundamental principles apply regardless of medium. So you're seeing great narrative nonfiction in public radio right now, things like This American Life. And you're seeing more and more narrative nonfiction approaches in documentary film. So something like Super Size Me or The Story of Anvil, a wonderful documentary film about a failed Canadian heavy metal band. Those follow the same kinds of principles that you'll see in a Tracy Kidder book or a John McPhee book or a Susan Orlean book, and that you'll find in print form in magazines as diverse as The New Yorker and Outside Magazine. And certainly in film, we're seeing narrative nonfiction acquiring a preeminence that it never had before. We're on a real roll in terms of public attraction to and endorsement of narrative nonfiction. Over the past 30 years, it has emerged, I think, as a uniquely American art form. And And good narrative nonfiction is to literature in some ways, as jazz is to music, something that we have perfected here and turned into an artistic expression that has real literary merit.
Well, I want to ask you about something that I know I went through. I was a freelance journalist for many years, Jack, and reported for print, but also worked for radio and for television. And I was always keen to be sure that the pace of a story was appropriate to the story itself and to the medium. Is pacing critical? And how does one arrive at a good sense of pace the way perhaps a good musician knows how to keep time really well?
Well, absolutely important, and pace will vary within the framework of a story depending upon where you are in the story. So as you reach a climactic moment, for example, you want to slow time down and increase intensity, and you do that by including more detail, writing with shorter sentences, and coming in closer to the unfolding action. Then there are maybe long stretches of time where you want to skip over the dull material, and you do that by getting more abstract, pulling back, summarizing. There are critical differences between, say, summary narrative, which is the sort that you see in a typical newspaper report, and dramatic narrative of the sort that you use during the key critical moments in a narrative, whether it's fiction or nonfiction.
Well, I'd love for you to end our discussion about storycraft with a great story, and it's one that comes in your chapter on reporting. And you mentioned about the last 30-40 years really giving birth to this notion of an American form of journalism, the narrative nonfiction piece. And that, of course, is the story about Gay Talese and one of his very early articles for Esquire. He was assigned to get an interview with Frank Sinatra, but it didn't turn out that way. But yet what he wrote was absolutely a masterpiece.
It has been called the best magazine article of all time. It's called Frank Sinatra Has a Cold. It was done for Esquire. And Talese went out from New York to California to write about Sinatra on assignment. Sinatra did have a cold. He was grumpy. He absolutely refused to talk to Talese, but Talese did have permission to just hang around and use the fly-on-the-wall reporting technique that's the immersion technique that has become characteristic of really great narrative nonfiction storytelling. There wasn't a single direct quote from Sinatra of the sort that Talese might have gotten had he landed an interview, but there was all this great dialogue, this interaction between Sinatra and his hangers-on and the folks working with him to produce a television special. And it was far more revealing of Sinatra's character than the kinds of things he might have said in a conventional interview. And to this day, that kind of technique of getting into somebody else's world, spending enough time there to see things start to happen as they really do, is the kind of ethnography approach to narrative nonfiction reporting. And make no mistake, reporting is absolutely essential to the kind of narrative nonfiction that I'm talking about. Just absolutely key ingredient, and one that I tried to emphasize in my book.
Right, and an element of journalism that either you love doing that piece of the job and you'll thrive on it, or you just don't care and you probably end up not being very successful at all. You have to love the reporting piece before you get to the part where you sit down and write. Jack, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. We've been chatting with Jack Hart. He is the author of a new book from the University of Chicago Press called Storycraft. Just out, it's called The Complete Guide to Writing Narrative Nonfiction. And Jack is a former managing editor and writing coach of the Oregonian, a prize-winning teacher, and was named the Rule Distinguished Professor at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication. Jack Hart from somewhere in Puget Sound, thank you so very much for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
It's been my pleasure.
We'll tell people that Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, images, and blogs. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com/Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.